And then also we see God's righteous hand in our in His, and that's what we're going to get to here in a minute, in His righteous work within us. And look at verses 22 and 23. You see the outcome. Someone read that, please. Amen. So you see God's work right there? You see what He's done for us? Okay. Now go. Let's. Do you remember what the main topic of Romans 7 is? Do you remember that one? It's law. Romans 7 was the main topic was law. Okay. All right. Look at verses 4 and 6 and 7. Does someone read that, please? Yeah. Amen. Do you remember that part there in verse 5? Remember when Wayne was still with us? How he brought up the subject of, is that the fruit of the Spirit? And then we went from there to Galatians 5. Do you remember that? Remember that happening? Yeah. When I came back to this, I mean, it just kind of brought a tear to my eye when I remembered that. But anyway, and then we go on in chapter 7 here, and we see that Paul, in his self-evaluation of himself, he finds that there are four laws working within him. And we find those in verse 22 and 23. Will someone read that, please? Yeah. So we see here, we see the four laws that are working within us, okay? First of all, we have the law of God. Then we have the law of our flesh. We have the law of our mind and the law of sin. It's all present, working around us all the time, okay? It's working within us. And that's why Paul goes on and says in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." So Paul kind of made this discovery right here. To me, it was kind of a discovery. The light just went off that this was going on, and he shares that with us. And we can do that too. We can see these things also operating in our lives. So let's get to Romans 8, 1 through 17. But you know, before we do that, we went to Galatians after that. Remember Galatians chapter 5? What we learned there, that we need the Holy Spirit in our life before any spiritual fruit can be produced in us. That's what we learned in Galatians 5. Okay. So Romans chapter 8, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, these are your words and not mine, Father. Father, I pray tonight and ask that these that are sitting here tonight, that are listening, Father, I pray that their hearts will be opened and their ears will be opened so they may hear and receive from you, Father, for this is a wonderful thing that you are doing in our midst, Father. Father, we pray for this country, Father. We ask for a revival for our country, especially in our youth, Father. Our youth need to rise up and take a stand on what they believe. And if that belief is Jesus Christ, then so be it, Father. May they stand up and take a stand on the count of Jesus. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start in Romans 8. Let's look at the first two verses here. It says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." So why is therefore now no condemnation? Why? It will, yeah, but we're in verse 1 and 2. I'm asking the question. Do you remember what happened back when creation first began? Remember Adam? What happened? Did Adam sin? Or was it Eve? Oh! But Adam, now you're probably going to take this wrong. You may have never heard this before. Adam sinned against God. Eve sinned against Adam because she did not keep Adam's word. Adam did not keep God's word. He told Adam, and Adam told Eve. So actually, Eve actually sinned against Adam. Anyway, go back to Romans 5, 16 through 19. Let's look at this. Romans 5, 16 and 19. Can you hear me, Suzanne? Someone read that, please. "The gift that is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one, man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of one, the many will be made, what? Righteous. Okay? This is God's gracious work right now that's taking effect in our lives. It's His gracious work. So there's no condemnation. None whatsoever. So what happens if I do sin? What happens? What if I, let's just throw something, let's say I didn't like what my neighbor did next door, even though they're not Christians that I know of, and I spoke out against them. What would happen? Well, I'd upset them, but what's going to happen to me? Okay, how is that done? I'm trying to get you to a point here. How is that repentance? How does it come into your life? How do you know that you've sinned? Let me put it that way. Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit living within us, okay? Lets us know when we have sinned. Now, if we repent as soon as we feel that, then everything's going to be just fine. But if you let it go by, the result of that sin, you're going to be turned back over to the law, and the result of it will be whatever the law says that the outcome of it will be. So we are in Jesus, we are in Christ Jesus, and justified by faith. Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we are. All right. Look at verse 2. Why did Jesus do this for us by the law of the Spirit? Why did He do it? We're back to 8. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, in verse 2, go back to 8, verse 2. Let's read it again. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Why did He do it? Yeah, He does love us. Exactly, I agree wholeheartedly, but there's a reason, okay? And like Suzanne said a while ago, the answer is in verse 3, okay? For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. John 8:31 through 36, if you'll turn over there. I want to show you something of some people that believed Jesus and what He said to them. Everybody there? So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. So you see what's going on here? Okay? When Jesus comes into our life, sin is gone. We're not a slave to it anymore. But Jesus remains. You getting that? You understanding what where this is taking us here? So we've been set free from this law. And we go on through 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendant, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. So there it is. There they believed what Jesus was saying. They believed Him, but yet they sought to kill Him because the word was not in them. Okay, they didn't receive Him. And then he goes on in 38, I speak these things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. Let's go back to Romans 8, verses 3 through 6. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, so let's go back and look at this. So what do we read first in verse 3? For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. So the law could not set us free. And it still can't today. All right? Any law, even though well, there's consequences, even the laws we break of the land too. So we're not set free from it. But then we see what our Heavenly Father, we see his initiative take in here. It goes on, it says, God did, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now what is that? Anybody ever wonder why Jesus was made this way? He was a likeness. He was made a certain way for a reason. Why did God make Jesus in the likeness of man? No, there's a reason. So we're gonna get to it. Okay. He made him. Notice that it's a likeness. It's not sinful flesh. So that tells me that God, Jesus, was a man, but without sin. And there was a reason for that. There was a reason why God made him this way. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're going to find out. 2 Corinthians 5:21. A lot of these you guys remember by heart. Will someone read that, please? Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why our Heavenly Father made Jesus in the likeness of man, so we could be made righteous. Okay? Now look at Hebrews 4:15, and you'll remember this one too. Yeah. So there, the reason that God made him this reason, so we would have a high priest who is for our benefit. Okay? One more. Hebrews 2:14 through 18, just a couple of pages back. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. There again, there's sin. They were subject to sin all their lives. Okay? For assuredly, says verse 16, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Okay? So you see the reason, these are the reasons why God made Jesus a certain way, in the likeness of man. And this was also so the law could be fulfilled in us. Okay? Remember we read that in the first part of verse 4? Now look at 5 and 6. Let me read that again. Back to Romans 5 and 6. Sorry. Romans 5 and 6. 8, 5 and 6, yeah. Amen. Okay, now go back to the very last part of verse 3. He says he condemned sin in the flesh. How did he do it? We just read it. How did Jesus condemn? Thank you, Mark. How did he condemn sin in the flesh? By setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Okay, that's how it's condemned. We can do the same thing. Okay? I know for a fact that if I... If certain thoughts or something come within me, that I can switch those around and start thinking about spiritual things, spiritual matters, that those thoughts will leave. They'll flee. They'll leave and they'll go quick too. So if those things start coming in, just do that. Just switch it over. Switch it to the spiritual aspect. And remember those things. In fact, remember what is written right here, because this is God's gracious work for us right now. Okay? So if we'll just switch that around and think about spiritual things, spiritual matters, then we'll be fine. Let's just drop down to verse 7. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do it. Now you think that's a depraved mind right there? I believe it is. That's a totally depraved mind that they can't even subject itself to the law of God. Can't even do it. I mean, that's just an impossible. So look at James 4:4. In fact, let's go to 3 through 5. Yeah. Amen. Do you understand that last part? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But if we're caught up in the world and worldly things and the goings on, do you think the Spirit is going to truly reside with all of its power within us? No, it's an impossibility because we're caught up. In fact, Pastor, 2 weeks ago, brought that subject up when he was teaching in John. Remember after they fed the 5,000, that Jesus went to his disciples and told them, get in the boat and start on your way? See, I always like to look what's not there. I said, you know, I was telling myself, okay, what's not there, you know, when he was teaching this. And I noticed that they didn't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, there's a storm coming up. I mean, these are fishermen. They've been on that lake. They've been on that water. They know when storms are going to come up. Can we wait for you, Lord? They didn't do that. They went ahead and said, well, Jesus sent us. We'll just go ahead and go. So what happened? They got out there. The storm came up, and Jesus was watching them from the shore on the side of the mountain, and they were struggling with the oars and fighting and fighting and fighting. And my translation says that Jesus, when he went to them, he intended to pass them by. Just leave them in it. Leave them in it. He was going to just pass them by, but one of them saw him. And he got in the boat, and everything was cool again. So, And Jesus teaches us to think the same thing. Be on the alert. Be sober. Be ready, because you do not know the day I'm coming. He may pass you by if you're caught up in this world stuff. If you're caught up in it and you're struggling at the oars, be on the alert. Be ready for him. Okay? And that when the pastor was teaching, I'm going, wow. Yeah. I hadn't seen it that way before, Lord. So let's go back to the text. Romans 8. Verse 8 is a continuation of verse 7. Let me go back and read 7. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That is pretty powerful. I mean, there's no middle road here. Okay, either you are or you ain't. That's all there is to it. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh, and there's no gray ground there. There's nothing in between. Okay. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. That right there alone is is telling us that we have to be in God's Word to be able to get through these storms that are about to come upon us. I mean, we know that this world is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and God said it, Jesus said it would be like this in these days. So don't get caught up in these things. Stay in God's Word. Be blessed by His Word. Be healed by His Word. And just continue in it. All right? Most of us have been coming really regular and taking all of God's Word in. And I know that there's times when the evil one will come and try to upset you. In fact, the stuff that's going on in the world is designed to get your focus off of Jesus and God and His Word and get you into that instead of Him. Okay, everything that's going on. So just be aware. Stay in His Word, okay? Let's go to verse, let me go to 9 through 11. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of what?
Righteousness.
Because of righteousness. And notice that's a small s. That's you. That's me. Me. I'm alive. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That is so powerful. Mary and I had a teacher one time, and one of his favorite sayings was, it's time to take a checkup from the neck up. And that's what he had said that quite a few times, especially after he would read something like this in the scriptures. And he would say something like, is the Spirit in you? Or are you walking by the flesh? So there was the checkup from the neck up, you know. And he also, we had this illustration. Everybody see that? It's a bag of marbles. This represents your body. Every molecule, every DNA, every solution of blood that's in you, this represents it. But what's that around the marbles? It's empty space. It's all empty space. So this is what he's talking about. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, he fills in all that emptiness. And you're new. Your life is brand new. It's like starting all over again as a child. But you're starting over as a spiritual child, in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So the Holy Spirit can't do anything with your flesh, but he can give life to your mortal bodies if you'll let him come in. Uh-oh. Mary, I had dibs on him. Those are her marbles. But there's a work. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, there's a work that's starting to take place. Okay? Look at Titus 3:5. And yeah, I know you guys remember this too. Titus 3:5. I'm sorry, 3:4 through 7. I looked at the wrong one. 3:4 through 7. Someone read that, please. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God is, he's taken my disobedience and made it obedient. He's taken my love that I thought was right and made it correct. I'm not enslaved to sin anymore. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. Okay? It's a powerful work. I can't overemphasize that. I mean, get with it. I don't envy anymore. I don't have malice against anybody. I've learned that I was prejudiced a long time ago and didn't even know that. And the Lord brought that out. Mm-hmm. Cleared that up. I mean, it's just been a fantastic job that God's Holy Spirit has been doing. And I know he's been doing the same thing with you guys. It's not a continuation in the flesh. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new life. Let's go back to Romans 8. And I'm going to go ahead and finish this, verses 12 through 17. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which you can cry out, Abba, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and that means born ones. Okay? And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. So we've got to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to put the deeds of the flesh, to have them destroyed in our life. We can't do it on our own. That's why God has given us His Holy Spirit, so we can have that His help in our lives. He can actually show us how to get these things out of our life. Like if we had a problem with pornography, the Holy Spirit can tell you how to get away from it completely. If you have a problem with alcoholism, the Holy Spirit can get you completely away from it, where you don't even have a thought of it anymore. This is what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. So, after all this, do you want to know what you look like to God now? You know what's going on in your life? It's in the Scriptures. Go to Colossians 3. This is you. Colossians 3, 5 through 17. Is that after Philippians?
Yes.
Okay. Colossians 3, 5 through 17. Therefore, are everybody there? Here's another therefore. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech with your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practice, and have put on the new self, this is you now, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Father. So this is what you look like right now. This is what your Heavenly Father sees, if we are truly putting to death the ways of the flesh. But if we're not, then watch out. You better duck. That's all I can say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that we have received tonight, Father. Thank you for revealing these things to us. It is a mighty work that you are doing within us, Heavenly Father. Father, I pray now and ask that any of these here who are hurting or are sick, Father, I pray and ask that their bodies be touched, Father, by your love. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know your Holy Spirit or who has a question, Father, I pray that they will ask, that they may be able to receive. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.